Our epistle reading comes from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'm not going to read everything that we were supposed to read. I'm just going to read the first three verses. This has oftentimes been called the faith chapter. And of course, we learned in this chapter that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's just listen to the beginning. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now the gospel reading comes to us from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 32. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. You too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I know that among the team that has come from different parts of the country is a pastor from Mononkey, Illinois, Richard Olson. And pastor, we know we're not exceptionally special people, are we? We're just servants like all the rest. And yet we've been trained and we give leadership. And I'm going to ask Richard if he would lead in prayer at this time for this time of the preaching of the word. You can just, right where you are.
Father, we do thank you for the word that you give to us. We thank you that you have deemed to speak to us. And Father, I pray that you would speak through Pastor Frank, and I pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to listen to your Spirit speaking through to all of us. And it is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks. Well, some of us just got up in our own beds this morning and just made our breakfast and made our way over to the church building. But there are a whole lot of other people here that didn't get up in their from their own beds. They got up from air mattresses and places on the floor upstairs in the chapel and in room 202, and they made their way downstairs to our fellowship hall. I'll tell you, getting ready to go away and knowing that you're going to be sleeping on the floor of a church building, that might produce just a little bit of anxiety, huh? Especially when you know you're getting in a plane at O'Hare Airport. There's a picnic to leave O'Hare at, 6 o'clock in the morning? I mean, that meant they had to get up in Minonk at 1 o'clock in the morning to go. So, and the story is repeated over and over again, whether you've come from Iowa or Delaware or Mount Holly or wherever you have come from. You're away from home. And I have to tell you, when I am getting ready for a journey away from home, it produces a range of emotions in me. Some of them good, some of them not so good. I love to travel. And when I travel, I'm stoked with the anticipation of new things, enjoying God's creation. Kathy and I just came back from a trip to the mountains of Colorado, and it's a place that we love to go. Was there any anxiety as we got ready to go? Oh, you betcha. There's always stress. Tension that I've come to the conclusion is really rooted in fear. What am I afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to forget something. I'm afraid that I'm going to face something for which I am unprepared. It would be so good to just get in the car, head off, and not worry about where I'm going to sleep or what I'm going to eat or what I'm going to wear. Just get in the car and go. Some of you can do that. Perfectionists can't. Or at least they do it with great difficulty. Now, I'm an old Boy Scout. And the Scout motto is?
Be prepared.
Be prepared. That's right. So, I'd like to interpret some of that preparation. Some people think that being prepared means you have plenty of stuff in case you need it. Now, the good news is that the airlines make it so difficult for you to fly. With you know, it's $25 for the first bag, and what is it, $35 and up for the second, maybe even more. But I never get to the second because we used to take a second bag. Not anymore. Money will do that to you. And so it makes you become a little bit more careful in packing. But we oftentimes think, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. Do we really? Jesus says that getting ready, being prepared, is really something that's which is much more inward. It has something to do with being spiritually ready. And so when I get in the car, I might have my stuff with me, but maybe my heart isn't ready yet. And that's what God says. I want you to get ready. I want you to be spiritually prepared to what I'm calling you to. Because if you're going to travel, you may as well travel for my glory and not just because you're a sight seeker. But fear creeps in, right? And fear can be a crippler. Fear can stop you in your tracks. It can create a stressful situation with your spouse or with your kids or the other people working with you in a work detail, whether it be out in the field in Atlantic City, I should point that way, or right here at the church building. All the people that have put a lot of time into getting everything ready, the showers, the meals, all the building prep. But we're all in this together. Oftentimes what happens to us is out of fear, we dig our heels in, if for no other good reason than, I don't want to go. I don't want to do it that way. Ever felt that one? This is the way it's going to be done. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe God says, prepare your heart. Not maybe. God says, prepare your heart. Be ready for what you can't predict. What does Jesus say in the opening words of today's gospel reading? Do not be afraid, little flock. Terms of endearment calls us little flock. Don't be afraid. Why? Because your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. I love that. Your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. That means he's going to give us everything that we need to do our work. And I've oftentimes found that what I really need to do my work is not nuts and bolts. It's a good attitude. It's being prepared in spirit ready for the changes that are going to come our way, whether we like them or not. He goes on to tell his followers that they should just give away the stuff. Don't worry about packing, just give away the stuff, because the stuff doesn't last. Sell your possessions and give to charity, he says. Give to, that word that literally means give out of mercy, because there are people in need. That's what's causing the fear. We're afraid that if I give too much away, I'm not going to have enough for myself. And what I have, I might lose. Well, guess what? We lose it all anyway. But that's part of the toughness of living a faithful life. That's a discipline to let go. That's why we alarm our houses, by the way. Now, I bet you there are a few people here that have home-alarmed houses. I know that I've been tempted to that. Is that wrong? No, not necessarily. But we do it because we want to protect our stuff. And ultimately, our stuff can't be protected. Ultimately, our stuff all goes away. And God says, I just want you. That's who I want. I want you. So be ready. Be prepared. Be dressed in readiness, says verse 35. Be dressed in readiness. That means be ready for action. The clothing that you have on, it better be what you need. But it's not just the clothing. Again, it's the dressing of the heart. It's really a metaphor. He uses the same picture in Ephesians 4. He says, put on the new self, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Put on the new self. Put on my righteousness, not your own. Your own will fail you. But my righteousness, which is all about the relationships, you hear me say that an awful lot, because God keeps pounding it into my heart. It's all about the relationships. You can do all kinds of wonderful things, but if you run over people in the process of doing it, it's all for naught. We don't want to run over one another. We want to love one another through this. We were mentioning in our advisory council this week how much stress we have had as a church over the summer. We had Vacation Bible School. Do you remember the stress? Woo! It was good work, but it was stressful. Just before that, our beloved friend Herb Morris had an accident that took his life. That was stressful. Still is, right? And now the stress of putting all the meals together and the stress of coming. It's been a summer of stress, and we say, you know, we really need to be careful to make sure we're building one another up. I heard that loud and clear coming out of our discernment process. We need to build one another up. We need to be encouraging one another. From the person that's swabbing the decks to the person that's preaching the message, everybody needs encouragement. Be careful of the backbiting. It's a killer. That's what we need to be prepared for. Be prepared. Keep watch. That's another way to put it. A military watch is a good picture. Be properly armed and at your post against the enemy, because the enemy seeks to do what? Devour. And he'll eat us alive if we're not encouraging one another. Be ready. Be waiting for the master. Here's some dogs waiting for their master. You've been in that position? Come home to your good friend waiting at the door. Maybe your dog's a cat, but you just love being able to come home and know that There's somebody home that really loves you, wagging their tail, just waiting for you to come. Well, are we wagging our tails, waiting for the master to come home? You know, wedding banquets were a long affair in Jesus' day. And the person who was given watch over the house never knew when the master would come home from a distant city. And that's why Jesus says what he does in verse 36. That you should be, be dressed, pardon, verse 35. Be dressed in readiness, keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Well-to-do folks had butlers who would always be at attention near the front door, and they would admit only those who are welcome. So we're to be at attention and ready to welcome home the master when he comes. We don't know when that's going to be, do we? But for some people, it comes quicker than others. Being prepared means we're about the work that the master has given us to do. It might be a lot of reading, but usually it's more what he gives us to do with our hands. There are two parts of this preparation. One is the inner journey. That's loving God. Remember what I was saying to the children? God made us out of love. And he wants us to do what? Love him back. And you can't do that, oftentimes, scurrying around like Martha. You know the story. We just dealt with that less than a month ago. We're oftentimes scurrying around like Martha, doing. Sometimes he says, would you just chill for a moment? Or fall. Just rest and let me renew you. Learning how to listen. Learning how to get alone with God. Sometimes I find the best thing I can do in preparation is not scurry faster, but sit. Sometimes it's just for a few moments, but sit. Sit at his feet and let him love on us. And then love him back. The second part of that is the active part. This is the Martha part. That's serving. That's the outer journey. But the outer journey doesn't work well unless we've had an inner journey. Unless we spent the time quiet, soaking in his goodness. Oftentimes, the only thing we have to offer is a bunch of stress and anxiety to one another. And he says, no. Sit with me. Be with me. Let me rest in you, and you rest in me. Reaching out to others who have lost their homes or whose homes have been badly damaged. Here you are. But it's not just the people in the white shirts. It's all of us, is it not? Because what's happening here in this building and all the prep is just as important as what's happening out there in Atlantic City in the field. We're a team, a big team, doing work together. We care for the homebound. That's his work. We disciple other people. We lead other people into a relationship with Jesus, which gives them life. Life which has an eternal dimension here and later. Getting people ready. A follower of Jesus is always serving. Sometimes they're serving by being quiet, and sometimes they're serving in pretty boisterous ways. Sometimes they're serving on an organ bench, and sometimes they're serving by sitting and listening, wherever we are. Now, many of you are here because of your desire to serve. You've responded to a call to help a region that's been battered by a fierce storm. And many of the folks are waiting for somebody to help. I mean, even on a good day before the storm, life in Atlantic City is not all casinos. There's a lot of need in Atlantic City. And some of the work that you will do, that you'll put your hands on, will be work that was there before the storm. Because people's lives were pretty obliterated before the storm. You come with a quietness and with a hope to minister, to bring Jesus with your hands and with your hearts. But that's true for all the rest of us too, isn't it? That's why we're here. That's why we're part of the church. We're a mission organization. We're missional. We're not here just to hear the beautiful music and to sing the songs and to listen to the message. That's part of being quiet. That's the inner journey. But we're missional too. None of us are on vacation this week, except for you, Karen. You get to go away tomorrow. But I know that in your heart, you and Ned will continue to pray for Seaview, because I mean, we're all part of one another. I can't go on vacation. I've heard Art say to me many times, when you go on vacation, just forget that we even exist. I said, what? What? I can't do that. This church is in my heart. And I know that I am in yours. That's what body life is about. We're working. We're working together this week. Seaview is serving with you. Are we prepared for this? What shapes our hearts in? The truth is, we know very little about what's going to happen next. And our Lord does not want us to live in fear. He wants us to be prepared. So he says, stay close. Abide in me. Let my words abide in you. Another way of looking at being prepared is to be ready for the day that the Master calls us home. And to live in fear keeps us from really living at all. Chris Schaefer was very much alive when he went out on a run. And he had no idea that he would not finish that run, but that he would collapse and die. He didn't know that. But we have the assurance of his witness and his family that he's okay. It's hard, though. It's hard. It's hard for those of us that are left behind. Chris was prepared. And Jesus says to Chris, and so am I. I've gotten everything ready for you, Chris. You can go on the run and don't worry about the rest. You don't have to worry about the business. You don't have to worry about anything else. I've got it all covered. And just a few weeks ago, Herb Mars had all the intentions of taking a limb down in our church parking lot. And he got part of it down. And what seems unfortunate to us is that he came down with the limb. And he never got up again. And that night, he died. But we believe he's alive. Chris, Herb, alive. Why? Because they're prepared. They live their lives in readiness. And that's what God calls from us. He said, Herb, your work on earth is done. Your heart is ready, and so am I. Enter into the joy that I've prepared for you. Neither of these men took anything earthly with them. So where's the treasure? The treasure is deep within us, and we send it ahead to glory. by loving people and loving God. That's how we live. Those who are going to be involved in this effort this week are going to be helping families that have been torn by a storm, and they're acting in readiness. You don't count your life as being more precious than the people whose lives you are helping. We're all in this together. And we can be the difference between life and death for people that we help. Because it might be the work that is done this week, here in this building, as well as the buildings in Atlantic City, that make the difference in drawing a person into a relationship with Jesus. And isn't that what it's all about? There's the peace. And when we're in a relationship with Jesus, we're prepared. We're ready. There's a legend from the first century about a disciple named Thomas. He was sent by Christ to India. Now, we know that Christ did send Thomas to India. The rest of the story is legend. But listen to the legend. Thomas was employed by the local king, Gundafuras, to build a new palace for him. He was given the money to hire workers and purchase the materials, and Thomas took the money and he gave it away to the poor. But always assuring the king that his palace was rising steadily. And the king became suspicious when Thomas kept putting off his request to see the work that was in progress. And he finally sent for Thomas and said, "Have you built my palace?" "Yes," replied Thomas. "Then we shall go and see it now." Thomas said, "You can't see it now. You can't see it now, but when you depart this life, you shall see it. I've built you a palace in heaven by giving your money to the poor and needy of your kingdom." And the king was furious. He had Thomas thrown in prison. And all night the king considered how he was going to put Thomas to death. He thought, seems good to me. I should flay him and then burn him with fire. But that same night, the king's brother died. And when he went into the eternal world, he saw the palace that Thomas had built for his brother through his charitable work. And so he said, "I've got to go back. I have got to tell my brother." That's how you know this is just a story. Because God grants him that. He says, "Yep, go ahead back." And his body is suddenly revived. And he tells his brother of the magnificent palace that was awaiting him in heaven. And the king rejoiced, freed Thomas, and the king and his brother decided to follow Jesus. It sounds like a far-fetched story, but it's not all that far-fetched. Because whenever we build, whether we're fixing a home, or building a shower house, or getting meals ready, we're doing it for God's glory. We do it because we care about people. We do it for people who usually can't do it for themselves. And that way we're participating in the kingdom and we're getting prepared. And the good news is, while we have prepared ourselves, we help to prepare others for this kingdom. Who knows if the house on which you work will be the house of someone who has said throughout their lives no to Jesus. But you have the opportunity to live it out. And when they ask you to give an account, why do you do this? You say, "I've been sent. Jesus sent me because he loves you." and my hands are his hands. That's being prepared. So are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you ready like Herb, like Chris? Jesus, by his death, got a place ready for anybody, for all of us, actually. But we won't inhabit the place that he has prepared unless we decide to follow Jesus. Now, you can walk an aisle and you can pray a prayer. And they're indicators. But following Jesus is more like being quiet and letting the Spirit fill us. Fill us so much that we get up off our duffs and we get out and we serve. None of us have finished the service yet. We have work to do. Of course, it could be Chris or Herb, and today could be the last day. Herb died with his boots on, literally. And so did Chris. And that's how I want to go. How about you? Are you ready? Let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts that you might fill us. Fill us with your goodness, for we are responding in readiness. Thank you, Lord, for getting everything ready for us. We love you and we worship you. In the name of Jesus, amen.